Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th chapter, chapter 16, verse 20, verse 21, 22. Translation. After completing the sacrifice, Lord Parashuram gave the eastern direction to the Hota as a gift. To the south to the Brahma, the west to the Advarja, the north to the Uddata, and the four corners, northeast, southeast, northwest, and southwest, to the other priests. Parashuram gave the middle to Kashyap, and the place known as Aryabharta to the Upadrashta. Whatever remained, he distributed among the Sadasyas, the associate priests. Purport. By Srila Prabhupada. The tract of land in India, between the Himalaya Mountains and the Vindhya Hills, is called Aryabharta. Aman Janatimandasya, Janam Janashivata, Akshuram Nuitandena, Kasmai Shri Vena, Sri Chaitanya Manobhusham, Stapitam Yena Bhutare, Swayam Rupapadamayam, Dadati Swapadantina, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuntananda, Sri Vaita Gradha, Sri Vasu Gorba. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this verse, Srila Vyasadeva is recounting history of Parashuram and how he performed the jagya. And he, because he was a king and he was controlling all the lands, he called various types of priests to perform the jagya. And the conclusion of the jagya, then he offered those portions of the land to the different priests, and then to the munis. Kashyapa Muni gave the middle, and Aryabharta Upadrashta. So in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that the portion of land between the Himalaya Mountains and Vindhya Mountains is known as Aryabharta. But throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, he often talks about the Aryans and the non-Aryans and the land of Bharatvarsha. So seeing this purport, although it's very short, only one sentence, but a sentence is composed of phrases, and phrases are composed of words, and those words triggered our mind in a particular way. Srila Prabhupada inspired us. Speaks something about this conception of Arya. The Himalaya Mountains in the north, they separate India from the other countries. Basically, they separate India from the land of the Malechas. Just like you have your house, and you want to protect your house from intruders or from dacoits or thieves, then you build a wall around your house. So Krishna has arranged the land of India very nicely, that there's an invincible chain of mountains known as the Himalayas. In fact, in Virata Rupa, Krishna is represented there. It says, among mountains, I am the immovable Himalayas. The Himalayas represent Krishna. So he's manifested his form as the Himalaya Mountains to protect the sacred land of India, Bharatvarsha. And then in South India, there's a chain of mountains called Vindhya. So basically what this verse is, the purport is saying, that this land from the north of India to the south of India is known as Aryabharta. But what is this word Arya? Prabhupada explains that the meaning of the word Arya means that someone who is interested in self-realization, someone who is advancing towards the purpose of life. The purpose of human life is to realize God and to attain mukti, or liberation. To leave this place of suffering, to leave this temporary material world, and return to the Sanatana Dharma. The Sanatana Dharma is a holy place, is the spiritual, eternal place of Krishna, spiritual world, Paravyam. So by performing Sanatana Dharma, you attain the Sanatana Dharma. And Arya is one who takes this seriously, that this is actually the goal of human life, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. And he works in that direction. He's an Aryan. This is the Aryan race. So the Aryan race are any group of people, in one sense, any group of people that are interested in spiritual elevation. They're interested in the science of self-realization. And that's actually the importance of life. That's the unique feature of the human form of life, is the facility for realizing God and attaining the Sanatana Dham. So then Prabhupada contrasts this with the non-Aryans. The non-Aryans are the Mlechas, Yavanas, Vashandis. Those personalities, generally falling in the category of uncivilized, because they're only interested in Dviparupashu, animal life. That group of human beings, they're in human form, but they're only interested in Ahara Nidra Maitun Bayam. Ahara Nidra Maitun Bayam. They're only interested in the same activities that motivate the animals. Dviparupashu. Dvipara means two-legged, pashu means animal. So we have two legs, but most animals and beasts, they have four legs. Beasts have four legs, birds have two. But the human being has two legs, but if he's using it only for sense gratification, he's just like a two-legged animal. He's uncivilized. Culture, human culture means spiritual culture. Spiritual culture means mukti. Worship God, serve God, attain the prosperity and the peace and happiness that's guaranteed in the Shastra to any worshiper of God. Live peacefully, but dedicate your life, dedicate your activities, and dedicate your mind and heart to the lotus feet of Vishnu, Narayan, Ante Narayana Smriti. So that by the end of life, when you give up this temporary material body, the eternal soul can attain the Sanatana Dham, the spiritual world, and live eternally. Nitya Jivan, Nitya life. We are Jiva. We are Jiva Shakti. We are Jivatman. We are a living being, and we have an eternality as our feature. Everyone wants to live forever. Everyone. You ask anyone, do you want to die? No. The ant, the bird, the dog, everyone is trying to preserve their existence by one means or another. By defense, by insurance, by medicine, by health, by so many things. No living entity wants to give up his existence. So this desire for eternal life comes from the soul, Satchitananda. That is our basic constitution of the jiva. So nitya jivan means to live eternally in the spiritual world. So this is real human culture. This is real human civilization. But the non-Aryans are those groups of people that they may be educated and they have knowledge, but their knowledge is simply to further the cause of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. One time Srila Prabhupada, he coined the term that in the modern world, the modern cultures of the world, the Western cultures, they accept the advancement of ignorance. They accept the advancement of ignorance as the advancement of civilization. They equate it. Actually, all they are doing is advancing in ignorance, because ignorance means tamagun. Tamagun means darkness. Darkness means illusion. Illusion means moha. Moha means forgetfulness. Forgetfulness of who I am. Who am I? What is my real identity? What is the purpose of life? Who is God? Why was I created? Is there another world? Is this the only world? So when one gives up this line of inquiry and gives up this line of questioning and only asks, how can I eat better? How can I sleep better? How can I feel better? How can I move better? How can I move faster and eat hotter and eat cooler? Then it's only animal life. That's your advancement of ignorance. So therefore, quite eloquently, the founder acharya of this movement, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, said that the modern people, humans, so-called civilized, cultured human beings, they accept the advancement of ignorance as the advancement of civilization. Because there are so many inventions, so many gizmos, so many machines, so many trinkets for telecommunication and electronic mail and rapid jet transport and overnight delivery of goods and messages. We think this is great advancement. Such speed, such efficiency, such accuracy. But what is the result? Ahara Nidra Maitun Bayam. More Ahara, more Baitun, Maitun. There's simply more animal life going on. Pigs and dogs. Pigs and dogs are expert at Ahara Nidra Maitun Bayam. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So the modern civilized man, in the name of, we're very advanced, It's very fast, high technology, very advanced technology, computers, computer-guided missiles, computer-guided, you know, cars and toothbrushes and everything. You know, as soon as you wake up, your computerized toothbrush is set to automatically, the toothpaste will squeeze out toothpaste onto your toothbrush, and when you get to the bathroom, it's waiting for you to just pick it up. Such advancement! Automatically, the toothpaste comes on the toothbrush, and it waits, because it knows you'll be there in 34 seconds from the time you wake up from your bed. This is advancement of culture. This is advancement of human civilization. This is advancement of ignorance. Because it further binds people in the bodily conception of life. It further entangles one in the idea that this is my life. This is my world. There's nothing more to look for. Everything is here. Science has given us everything. But this is not science. Science means skio, skio. In Greek it means to know thyself. Real science is atma-tattva-gyan, to know the identity of the eternal soul. And know the identity of the eternal paramatma, the eternal Godhead. This is spiritual knowledge. So this Aryan civilization was situated, of course, primarily in India. Although due to the power of the emperors of the ancient times and Treta Yuga and Satya Yuga, they were able to dominate the entire world and to spread this spiritual culture. The Aryan culture was a culture based on mukti, a culture based on liberation. The purpose of this was called civilization. The difference between uncivilized and civilized means that you're progressing towards realizing God. That means you're civilized. That's human life. Animal life means uncivilized, primitive, animalistic. Why? What is the difference between human life and animal life? In human life, humans can be civilized, advance culture, and advance knowledge to the point of atma-tattva-gyan. Advance their introspection, advance their dedication to inquiry and questioning and understanding and evaluating and analyzing to understand the difference between the body and the soul. The sharir and the atma. Between jara-rup and dibya-rup. Between God and man. Between animal and human. So the difference between animal and human is that human can realize God. And if one is moving in that way, that is human culture. That is human civilization. If one is moving towards increased bodily attachment, increased bodily life, that is not human culture, and that is not civilized life. That is uncivilized animal life. Because that's the only activities that the animals engage in. So this is Aryan. So the principles of the Aryan culture were, of course, the basic principle was a culture meant for liberation. A culture that would liberate the jiva from this bondage of birth and death. And to do that, one needs guidance. One needs guidance. One needs advice. One needs knowledge. A whole other category of knowledge. So to know means Veda. Veda. Veda means to know. And the ultimate knowledge is to know thyself. And the ultimate knowledge is to know this world. Yes, but what do we know about this world? Even the scientists admit, the closer we look at reality, the less we know. When we look very minutely at the structure of the atom, when we look at the smallest divisible part of matter, the atom and the neutrons, then we become puzzled. We become puzzled and bewildered. Oh, we're uncertain. Is it a wave or is it a particle? So the famous German scientist, Heisenberg, he developed a principle called the uncertainty principle. It's uncertain. I'm not sure. When I look through my electron microscope and examine the minute portion of matter, I find it, I don't know. When I get down to the smallest piece of material energy, is it acting as a wave or a solid particle? Solid particle. See, a solid particle or a wave, a vibration, a heat wave. Or is it a chunk of iron? Is it a solid particle or is it a wave, a vibration? So I'm uncertain, so I make a principle. The Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Oh, very big scientist. Such a discovery. You figured out, you've discovered that you don't know what you're looking at. And when you look at the atom, you don't know what you're seeing. It could be this, it could be that. Anyway, it's both. So that settles all arguments. I'm right and you're right. You say it's black and I say it's white, but we're both right. Well, wait a minute. What's the absolute conclusion here? No conclusion. Then when I look into the macrocosm, so from the microscopic level, from the microcosm to the macrocosm, they are in muyanti. Muyanti means bewildered, the so-called scientists. So when they gaze into the heavens and try to understand the configuration and movements of the galaxies and the origin of the universe, they develop so many theories. Big Bang theory, black hole theory, white hole theory, pink hole theory. So many theories. The universe came from an implosion that imploded, that left a hole. Or it's, you know, what is it? I mean, so much jargon they have. But the end result is Mrityu sarva harashchaham. That is the end result. Mrityu sarva harashchaham. Krishna says, I come as death and take away all your avidya, all your ignorance, all your bodily knowledge, all your so-called scientific knowledge. So this is the unfortunate situation of the modern age. India, who was based on the Vedas, based on the great realizations and vision of the sages, the sages are glorified as Trikala Gyan. Trikala Gyan means that they know. They have knowledge through three phases of time. Past time, future time, and present time. And then they convey that knowledge in mantra, in vibration. So that is waves of vibration. Those are waves of vibration, Shabda Brahman. So those waves of vibration are also solid particles. So the waves of vibration given in the Sanskrit shlokas of the Vedas, the Shabda Brahman, they are waves, they are vibratory waves, Shabda. Shabda means sound. Brahman, the sound of Brahman, Omkara, Akshara Brahma. That Akshara Brahma is vibrating, Om, Om. And it crosses the Paravyom. And when it enters the material universe, and it manifests in so many varieties of vibration. The vibration of K, or Kam, which is ether. The vibration of Vayu, which is air. The vibration of Agni, which is fire. The vibration of water. And the vibration of earth, Bhumi. All different rates of vibration. But the original vibration is Akshar Brahma. So the sages and rishis, they realized by mantra meditation, by grabbing hold of that mantra, they traveled on that mantra through the layers of earth. They penetrated the layers of earth and water and fire and air and ether. And they've gone on beyond the coverings of the material universe. And they penetrated the Brahman. And they've entered the Brahma Jyoti. And there they had darshan, Bhagavat Surup darshan, traveling on the sound vibration of mantra. Akshar Brahma, Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And by the vibration of mantra, Klim Krishnaya Govindaya, Krishnaya Govindaya, Gopi Janavallabha, by the vibration of mantra, Shabda Brahman, they were able to penetrate the whole material universe and go to the spiritual domain, to the Paravyom, Vaikuntha, and see Narayan, and see Vishnu, and see the whole reality and the whole panorama of the spiritual world. And then they would write about it on palm leaves with a metal stylus in Sanskrit language. Chintamani prakara sadmashakalpa brikshu laksha vriteshu surabhir avipalayantam Lakshmi sahasra satasam brahma sevyamanam Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. So they saw, oh, this spiritual world is made of something special. Chintamani. It is Chintamani. It is not Sparshamani. It is not Bhumirapo Nalovayu. It is Chintamani. And there's so many thousands of goddesses of fortune there serving the Supreme Lord Narayan and is sparkling with wonderful effulgence and incredible jyoti. So they wrote about this in the Vedic literatures. So the people that follow the Vedas, they follow the Vedas and they study the Vedas, the Upanishads. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that those people that only accept the original Vedas, the Yajur Veda. Of course, originally there was one Veda. There's actually one Veda, the Atharva Veda. But then Vyasa, he split the Atharva Veda into the Atharva Veda, Samaveda, Yajurveda, and Rig Veda. There's four Vedas, Rig Veda. So Then these four Vedas, he put different disciples in charge of them, different rishis, and then they disseminated that knowledge. But then in the course of time, different rishis commented on those, and they wrote the 108 Upanishads, and the 18 Puranas, and then the Bhagavad Purana, Amalan Puranam, Paramahamsa Samhitam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is Paramahamsa Samhitam. It is Amala Puran. It's completely pure and transcendental. It deals with nothing but mukti, from start to finish. 18,000 verses. It's 18,000 steps to mukti. Not just the Rupya Mukti or Saloki Mukti, but Prema Mukti. Prema Mukti means to not only attain the Paravyom, the Vaikuntha region, where you can have the same form as Lord Narayan, Sarupya Mukti, or live on the same planet as Lord Narayan, Saloki Mukti, or attain the same opulence as Lord Narayan, Sharshti Mukti, or be an associate of Narayan and have more intimate service to him in Samitya Mukti. But you can go to the centermost, topmost, innermost, sweetestmost region of Vaikuntha known as Madhurya Dham. Madhurya Dham, Sri Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan Vihari Lala Ki. So, by Guru Kripa, by sadhana, and by the mercy of these great Pancharatrika literatures, like Narada Pancharatra and the Upanishads, and synthesizing and following the very merciful teachings of the Upanishads and the Puranas, such as Bhagavad Puran, you can attain this highest, highest, highest form of ultimate perfectional liberation, Prem City, to attain a Swarup City in Vrindavan, and it served the Lord in one of the sweetest intimate rasas. Vatsalya Ras is a loving father or mother, or a Sakya Ras is a loving friend, or a Madhurya Ras is a maidservant, or a queen of Dwarka, or a gopi in Vrindavan. All this wonderful attainment is possible for one who follows the subsidiary Vedic literatures, Pancharatrika literatures and Upanishads. When Lord Chaitanya met Prakashananda Saraswati, he was explaining that the Upanishads, they are like a great sun. They're like a great sunlight. Brilliant like the sunlight, the Upanishads and the Puranas, like Bhagavat Puran. Krishna swadamo pagate dharma gyanana visaha. Krishna says, when the sages ask, where will I find religion? You're leaving. You're the dharma sarup. You're the personification of religion, but now you're winding up your pastimes in this Dwapar Yuga, this junction of Kali Yuga. So where will we find dharma? You came here, yada yada hi dharmasya, glanir bhavati bharata. You established religion, and now you're going, and all your parishads are going. So what will happen to all of us? How will we carry on? How will we attain perfection? And he, Krishna spoke this verse, Sutta Goswami spoke this verse, Krishna sado mahapakade. He said, Krishna has gone to his own swadham. Krishna has returned, upagate. He's gone to his own holy abode. But he's left one form of himself, Bhagavat Sarup, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Bhagavat is shining just like the sun. Lord Chaitanya said that these subsidiary Vedic literatures, these secondary, we have the Shrutis, the four original Vedas are called Shruti, and then we have Smritis, all the corollary Vedas, Upanishads, Mahabharata, Ramayana, Puranas, etc. He said that especially these Upanishads are shining just like the light. Just like the light. For example, if you have some object and you want to see it very clearly, if you're in your house and you're looking and the light is not so good, you'll go outside into the bright sunlight. Oh, let's go into the sun and look at it under the sun. That's like when ladies are buying saris, for example. They go in the store and they look under these green lights, these kind of funny tube lights, and they give everything a funny color. They don't give accurate color. So the lady goes over to the window, or she goes outside in the sunlight. Oh, yes, actually it's this color green, but under your lights it looks like this color green. So Lord Chaitanya is explaining that in the same way, when you want to see clearly and understand the specific nature of something, you have to bring that object into the bright sunshine. So he said, he told Prakashananda, why are you rejecting the Upanishads? Why are you only concentrating on the Shrutis? Because the Shrutis were given by the great sages, realized souls, and so were the Upanishads, and so were the Puranas. What to speak of Bhagavat Purana is given by the literary incarnation of Krishna himself, Vyasadeva. He's in a Vesh avatar of Lord Krishna, Shaktya Vesh. He's directly empowered by Bhagavan Sri Krishna to manifest the Bhagavat Sarup of Lord Sri Krishna in the shlokas of Bhagavatam. And moreover, he's empowered, being the Shaktya Vesh avatar of Lord Krishna, to directly give Krishna prema in the shlokas of Bhagavatam. And there's no other higher attainment than that. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he said that a progressive Aryan, Aryan means a human being, a civilized human being who follows the Vedic injunctions and progresses towards the goal of human life, which is mukti, liberation, or Krishna prema, to go back home, back to Godhead, to return to the spiritual world. This is an Aryan. So he told, Lord Chaitanya told Prakrishnanda, he said, you're acting like a non-Aryan, because you're not accepting these Upanishads. Because if you want to understand the Shrutis, you cannot understand the Shrutis unless you take them into the light. The Shrutis are Rahasya Shastra. They're very secret, because they're written in Sutra. Sutra, you know Sutra? Means condensed knowledge. Vast, vast body of knowledge is condensed into a microchip, into a computer chip. On this one disk, we have 1 gigabyte memory. We have 3 gigabytes on this jazz drive, on this special MO drive. So on these shlokas, the shlokas are like special 1 gigabyte of information in one shloka. So the shrutis are very confusing. Shrutis are very complex. So the great sage is understanding the difficulty of people in Kali Yuga who are samanda manda matiyo. Sumanda mata matiyo. They are short-lived, lazy, very, very lazy. Oh, sir, you are born in a Brahmin family. You should learn Sanskrit. Would you like to learn Sanskrit so you can study the Shrutis? Oh, yes. How long will it take? Oh, about 12 years. Huh? 12 years studying Sanskrit? Forget it. I take computer course in 6 months I learn computers. Get myself a good job and go to Saudi Arabia and make some money. Forget about the Sanskrit. Forget about these Shrutis. So this is Sumanda Mata Matiyo. People are lazy. And they're slow. And they're stupid. They have no brains. So therefore they take so many mind power, brain power, so many medicines for brains. And because they don't have any brains, when they go to the store, they have to have a calculator to add how much of, you know, half a kilo of carrots and 1 kilo of cabbage and 1 kilo of gobi. Oh, how much that costs? Well, wait a minute, I have my calculator. 15 rupees, 12 rupees, 10 rupees. Oh, 39 rupees. You know, people are so stupid. So this is Kali Yuga. So when they are offered this proposal to study Sanskrit, therefore the conclusion is it's very, very difficult to understand the Shrutis because they're written in a very confidential, highly complex manner. And all the knowledge is tied up in Sanskrit shlokas, which are like sutras. They're sutras. And these sutras are full of vast, vast amounts of information, just like one disc, one CD-ROM has the whole Vedic, whole encyclopedia on it. The whole dictionary, Webster, so much information is packed on that one disc. So one shloka is like one CD-ROM. So much knowledge is there. So the rishis have come and they've unraveled it and they've made it simple for Kali Yuga. And then they took the essential principles and the essential teachings and they put them into storybooks. Because people are so fallen in Kali Yuga, they don't even want to hear philosophy. Even if it's simply presented, like the Upanishads and Puranas, very simply presented, they want to have nice storybooks. Okay, we'll tell you a story. The great story of the king of Bharat, and the great story of the land of Mahabharat. We'll give you the principles of Dharma, and the principles of Mukti in a storybook. A nice storybook, Mahabharata. Kings and queens, and romance, and lovers, and murders, and intrigue, and conspiracy, and all the things you love. All the things you'd like to read about and see on TV. We'll put it in the Mahabharata, and then we'll put it in Ramayana. And so you can this way, somehow or other, learn about Dharma and follow the principles of Dharma. Dharma to Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. Bhagavat Pranitam means Dharma to Sakshat. The self-manifested principles of religion can only be given by Bhagavat Pranitam. Bhagavat Pranitam, this is told in 6th canto of Bhagavatam. Dharma to Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. That Bhagavan gives the principles of Dharma. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, you have to follow these Upanishads and Puranas, then you'll understand, that will bring the Rahasya Shastra Vedas into the light, then you will clearly understand. So if you, an Aryan is one who accepts all the Vedas in their totality, and he follows the principles, and he surrenders his life to the instructions of the Vedic literature, and he follows the previous Acharyas, evam brahm praptam, and he realizes the goal of life. Now, in the name of Arya, sometimes different groups are formed. And they have a group called Arya Samaj. Arya Samaj. So Samaj, Arya Samaj means to associate with Arya, or the Aryan conception. So the Aryan conception means this. It's based on the Vedas, and it progresses towards the goal of life, which is mukti or prema, pure love of God, and it's guided by a line of parampara beginning with Krishna himself. Krishna spoke the knowledge to Brahma, Brahma spoke the knowledge to Narada, Narada spoke to Vyas, Vyas spoke so many Vedas. But you see, in Arya Samaj, they don't accept parampara. They don't accept the rishis, the parampara of rishis, and they only emphasize the four Vedas, the original Shrutis. They say, oh, we don't care for Upanishads, we don't care for Pancharatrika literatures, we don't care for all the rishis and sages, we have our own rishis. The Arya Samaj and the Jains are like this. So consequently, if you examine what their basic principles are, their morality, they offer morality, and they try to guide people in a good way, but basically it's, the bottom line is sense gratification. Live and be happy. Be peaceful, be happy. But they will not deliver one liberation. Because they're not dharmantu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The dharma is given by Bhagavan in the Vedas, in the Shrutis and Smritis. Shruti Smriti Puranadi na Puranchi Vidim Vina. Vina. Vina means without. Vidim means without knowledge of the Pancharatrika literatures, Narada Pancharatra, etc., and the Upanishads, you cannot understand Dharma. So this, they call it Arya Samaj, and Prabhupada says, what is this Arya Samaj? This is not Aryan. Aryan means to progress towards mukti and attain love of God. But this is not even conceived of there. They say, oh, don't eat after 5 o'clock at night, and filter your water through a cloth before you drink it, and wear a mask on your face so you don't breathe any living entities, don't kill any living entities, try to avoid karma. It's a karmakanda philosophy. It's not Arya. Because Arya Samaj, just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna criticizes Arjuna. He says, you're acting like a non-Arya. In the second chapter, in verse number 2, he says, what is this? You're so worried about your relatives, and you won't carry out my order. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kutashtva Kashmalam Idam Vishame Samupashtitam Anarya Justam Asvargyam Akirti Karam Arjuna. He says, Anarya Justam. Prabhupada often quotes this word, Anarya Justam. He said, you're Anarya. There's Arya, and you're Anarya Justam. You're practicing the behavior of an Anarya. You're thinking of your relatives and your family and your land and your this and that. So this is not Aryan. But this is what these people, they say this is Arya Samaj, but they promote this. Interest in motherland, interest in family. But Krishna himself in Gita says this is non-Arya. He says, he calls that Kashmalam. He says, this is Kashmalam. This is Mal. Mal, this is Kashmalam. This is dirtiness. How is your mind full of this dirtiness? Boma Ijadi. Boma Ijadi. You're thinking, with your mind that my Boma Idya, I should worship my land. Oh, Mother India. Oh, my land. This Arya Samaj is a political movement. This is not Aryan. So, Krishna says in Gita, so if you accept Gita, that's Aryan. Then in Gita, Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, how have you become infected by this Kashmalam? They are not befitting you. They are not befitting a man who knows the value of human life. The value and purpose of human life is mukti. That is Arya. You're supposed to be an Aryan. You're a member of the Aryan civilization, the Aryan race. Now you're acting like a non-Aryan. Worried about your body, afraid of your body, afraid of your relatives. Thinking of your family and this dealings. Only you're absorbed in this jetaroop, in this material world, this material energy. In this griha mandakupam. The dark well of family life, griha andakupam. What is this? This is not Aryan. This is not Arya Drishti. This is not the vision of an Aryan. Then he says, now listen, if you act like a non-Aryan, you'll not go to higher planets. Akirti, Akirti Karam Arjuna. You'll get no fame. You'll become infamous. You'll be soon forgotten. Akirti. Kirti means fame. So, this Prabhupada often described that this is not really Arya. Arya means this, to progress towards spiritual values. So this Aryan civilization is most prevalent It's most prevalent and it's most available in the land of India. This land of India is known as Bharatvarsha. Bharatvarsha, of course, previously, this entire planet Earth, millions and millions of years ago, this planet Earth was known as Ilavrata. Ilavrata Varsha. Ilavrata Varsha. But then, Ilavrata Varsha. But then there came a great king. There was one great religious Deva Rishi, Maharshi, a great Maharaj and a great Rishi. His name was King Rishabhadev. He had 100 sons. His preaching is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, Bhagavat Puran. And his eldest son's name was Bharat. So this land of Bharatvarsha, at one time the entire planet was known as Bharatvarsha. There are three Bharats in Vedic literature. One Bharat is the son of Dasarath, King Dasarath. He's the brother of Ram, Bharat's brother. And there's another one that has a brother, Dushyamanta or something. Dushyamanta, one king. Dushyanta. And the third one, of course, is the eldest son of King Rishabhadev. So what kind of king was he? What kind of Maharaj was he? Was he an Aryan or an un-Aryan? Was he an Arya Jushtam? He was practicing the behavior of an un-Arya, interested in family and friends and motherland and body and fear. Krishna calls this, hey Arjuna, you're Anarya Jushtam. Anarya Jushtam, you're behaving, you're practicing, you're acting like a non-Arya, like a Pashandi, like an uncivilized person, like a Turk, or a Mlech, or a Yavana. You're not acting like an Aryan. So how did this king act? Did he hold on to his position one term, two terms, three, four, five, six, seven, eight? It's like the prime ministers, and you have like minister of one state, what's he called? Chief minister. So you have these chief ministers that stay in office one term, two, three, four, five. He's got completely gray hair, all his teeth have fallen out, he uses a cane, and he's coming to the office. He won't let go of his chief minister post. So much attached. Is this Aryan? No, this is non-Aryan. So, at the age of 24 years old, Maharaj Bharata, he realized, I must go to God. I must dedicate to God. So he turned his kingdom over. He left his kingdom. He left his beautiful wife. He left his crores and millions of crores of rupees with him. Now, when a politician leaves office, he makes sure he takes all his money with him. He takes as much as he can. Like in South America, some prime minister of a country, if he sees there's about to be a coup d'etat and he's going to get kicked out of office, he loads up airplanes full of gold. He loads up his private airplane full of gold and diamonds and any kind of rubies and emeralds. He loads it up and he flies into the next country. You know, 2 days before the coup d'etat. 2 days before the revolution comes and hangs him. Then he gets there and he starts unloading his plane. He buys up half the country and distributes wealth. And he lives happily ever after over there. No idea of mukti, no idea of prema, no idea of liberation. Bharat gave everything up and he went to Himalayas. And he practiced severe austerities to realize God and to attain. This is Aryan. This is Bharatvarsha. And so recognizing him, he attained kirti, nitya kirti, everlasting fame, by his performance of dedicating his life to God, dedicating his life to the cause of liberation, mukti. So the whole planet was named after him, henceforward, as Bharatvarsha. But over time, over so many thousands and thousands of years, Bharatvarsha became synonymous with India. So India, nowadays, for so many thousands of years, Bharatvarsha refers to India. So Bharatvarsha is a very, very special land. Very, very special land. There is no other land like Bharatvarsha in the entire planet Earth. Bharatvarsha, this is a land of tapasya. This is tapadham. As we say, tapodham. This is a land of austerity and tapasya, where people, the whole culture was based on the principle of tapasya. Brahmacharya, vanaprastha, sannyas. That's tapasya. Only 25% of life, only 1/4 of your life could be some vogue, some enjoyment. The hasta life. 75% of your life must be spent in tapasya. Why? to learn sense control, mind control, and to realize God. Because the purpose of our civilization, the purpose of our land of Bharat, is mukti, liberation. So tapasya, this is a Bharat. Bharatvarsha is the land of tapasya. But now, due to the influence of the West, so-called Western culture, which I already said is the culture of ignorance, now we've given up this land of tapasya, now we're trying to turn India into the land of technology. High tech. This high tech is low tech. This high technology is the lowest technology. Because what is this technology concerned with? The lower parts of the body. This part of the body is the high part of the body. The head, the mind, the brain. So high technology means Arya civilization. High technology means meditation on the chakra, on the Ajna chakra. Mani, what is it? The Mani, what is that? Not Mani Ratna. It means meditation on God. That is high technology. But the modern technology is on the lower part of the body. So this glorious land of Bharat has descended into a civilization of pigs and dogs, simply interested in eating and sex life. It's a great embarrassment. All the rishis in the Himalayas and all the great saints and rishis. Look at this land of Bharatvarsha. It is meant for mukti. It is the only land in the whole earth planet. There is no other land in the earth planet, no other country, no other continent that is meant for liberation. The land of Bharatvarsha is meant for liberation. To take birth here, if you take birth in India, it means you perform heaps and heaps of pious activities. You've done so much punya karma in your previous life, and you receive the favor of Bhagavan. You receive the favor and the blessing of Krishna, Vishnu, Narayana. You've taken birth here. And that birth in India is meant to take advantage of all that India has to offer. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayana, when he comes to this world, he comes to Bharatvarsha. He takes his birth here. He appears here. And all the rishis come here. All the sacred rivers are here. India is full of thousands and thousands of temples. The seven sacred rivers. Om Ganga Chatimuna Chaiva, Godavari Saraswati, Narmada Sindhu, Kaveri Sindhu, Ganga Jamuna, all the great sacred rivers are here. All the holy dhams are here. Leela Stali, of the Lord, Ram, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, they're all here. And all the rishis and all the great sages and realized souls have come here and they've left their contribution. They left all this Vedic literature. They left all this Vedic literature for us to read and study and take advantage of. But what we want science. We want technology. But that's the highest technology. Is there any better technology where you can actually realize your soul and take your soul and transport your soul from this world all the way beyond the sun, beyond the moon, beyond Janaloka, Tapaloka, Maharloka, Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, Shivaloka, Mahavaikuntha, and penetrate the Paravyom and go to the spiritual world and live eternally in your sorup, in your spiritual form? Is there any better technology than that? That's high technology. That's super tech. But we're settling for this genital technology. Anal. This anal technology. Improved eating and sleeping. That's all they're doing. That's all. Oh, new breakthrough. New birth control pill. Oh, great. That's genital. Oh, look. New breakthrough. New digestive enzymes. Help you eat better. And pass stool better. Oh, very high technology. High-tech foods. High-tech vitamins. This is not high-tech. This is high hype. It's high hype. Hype means bogus propaganda. They're making bogus propaganda and brainwashing everybody into ignorance. They're blackwashing everybody. I can't use the word whitewash. I want to say they're whitewashing everyone. Like you whitewash the walls. They're blackwashing everybody with tamagun. So everybody's thinking, oh yeah, this is high technology. Improved eating and sleeping. Improved digestion. This is not high technology. India, Bharatvarsha, has the highest technology. This is the land of Dharma. Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. Remember? Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra, Kurukshetra. This land of India, the whole land from north to south, from the Himalayan mountains to the Vindhya mountains. From north to south, it is a land of Dharma. It is meant for religion. Realizing God. Attain true happiness in life. Shanti, 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 om, shanti, hi. To attain shanti. Do you attain shanti from a computer? Do you attain shanti from a one meter wide television screen? Two meter wide television screen, projection TV in your living room, so you can watch the cricket match with Pakistan in 2 meter color. Wow, what high tech. This is ignorance. The animals are having the same high tech. They're walking down in the forest and they look up and they see a plane in the sky. Wow, high tech. Look at my TV screen. The whole sky is their TV screen. A huge airplane is on my TV. Wow, look at that big plane on my TV screen. It's such a big TV screen, it's the sky. So this is not high tech. The dogs have to watch their TV. They're watching, looking at the TV screen. And this is not advancement. So this is a great fortune to be born in Bharatvarsha. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, the demigods are praying. The devas and higher planets, in Indralok, Chandralok, Srilok, they're praying, let me take birth in Bharatvarsha. Let me take birth in India, because this is the land of Dharma, where easily we can attain liberation. Very easily I can attain liberation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, there's one verse where the age of Kali is glorified. Sometimes people, when they read the Vedic literature, they think that, wow, it sounds really good on heavenly planets. Or, when I read the Itihasas and hear about the ancient history of the wonderful kings like Parikshit and Yudhisthira and all Ram Rajya. Prabhupada used to joke, yes, they want Ram Rajya. They want the kingdom of Ram without Ram. In other words, we don't want a religious king. We don't want to be religious, but we want all the peace, all the security, all the prosperity that Ram Rajya brings. The control or the kingdom of Ram was very prosperous. Everyone was happy. Everyone was well fed. There were no starving kids and no starving cows and no starving babies. Everyone was prosperous and happy and enjoying life and religious and realizing God. We want Ram Rajya. So we read about the ancient dynasties and we hear about Satyuga, how everyone was a Paramahamsa, everyone was pure, everyone was engaged in meditation, there was no anger, there was no greed, there was no all these bad qualities. And we're living in Kali Yuga, we're thinking, what a bad age. What a very bad age. There's so much violence, so much terrorism, so much fear, so much anxiety, so many problems. We always joke that you come to India, and within 5 minutes you learn a new phrase, no problem. You learn a new phrase when you come from a foreign country, no problem. So India is probably, as a country, has more problems than any country in the world. And it's the only country in the world where everyone says, no problem, no problem, no problem. Every Indian is telling every other Indian, no problem. Will you fix my car by Wednesday? I have to go to work, it's an important meeting. Yes, no problem. So you come Wednesday to the body shop, is it fixed? Oh, well, see, this happened and that happened and this happened. It may be tomorrow or Friday. Oh, well, what about no problem? Anyway, no problem. No problem. Just be, you know, we have to be tolerant. No, we're Indian people. We have to be tolerant. No problem. Shanti, shanti. Dhire. Relax. So they're always saying, no problem, no problem. But, so Kali Yuga is a very problematic age. There's so many problems. Kalair Doshan and Hey Rajan. Shukamuni tells Parikshit, he says, hey, king. Hey, Rajan. Hey, Parikshit Maharaj. This Kali Yuga, Kalair Doshan today. This is a nidhi. This Kali Yuga is an ocean. Samudra. Right? Samudra is an ocean. Sindhu. It is an ocean of dosha. Janma Mrityu Jaravadi, Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam. Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam. So many doshas, so many problems. Kalair Doshan today, Rajan. But there's one good, Mahagun, there's one good thing. Krishna Kirtan. So in the 11th canto, in the 5th chapter, is one verse 36, where the Kali Yuga is actually glorified. The rishis actually glorify Kali Yuga. They say, Kalim Sabha Jayantyarya Guna Gya Sarabhagina Yatra Sankirtaneva Sarva Swarto Vilabhyate. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of the age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga, because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can easily be achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. So, the advanced, learned people jnanis, pandits, rishis, they worship Kali Yuga. Because in this age, you don't have to perform the difficult Ashtanga Yoga process or Gyan Yoga. Simply by Bhakti Yoga, simply by Harinam Sankirtan, you can realize Krishna and attain full mukti, brain mukti. Go to the spiritual world. But very, very easy in this age. So they worship this age. Let me take birth here. Let me be here. So Bharatvarsha, the Sankirtan movement has been spread all over Bharatvarsha by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his loving servants. So very easily we can take advantage of this Sankirtan movement and make our life perfect and attain the perfection of life, to go back to the spiritual world, live an eternal life full of happiness, unlimited happiness, joy, ras, pleasure, satisfaction, full awareness, no ignorance, no fear, no alienation, no terrorism, no death, no disease, no old age, no high technology. There's village technology. There's cows, there's Yamuna, there's Giriraj, and there's Holi Festival and Julin Festival and Nokabihar and Ban Bihar. They're all leelas. There's no high tech, no jet planes, no Sputniks, no spaceships, nothing. Just simple village life. Everyone knows, oh, I wish I was in the village. In the old days, village in India meant peace, happiness, pleasure. Now, of course, the villages are full of gundas and dacoits fighting over property and killing each other over land and farms and things like that. Anyway, this is Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya, he says, look, you're born in India. Lord Chaitanya is explaining, you're born in this Bharatvarsh. You have that great privilege due to your previous purva karma, purva samskaras. You're interested in God, but you're pursuing high tech in the name of knowledge and improvement of life's condition. You're pursuing high technology, which is actually no technology, and you're neglecting this actual dharmic life. And therefore, you're not finding happiness, and you're not finding peace, and you're not finding perfection. It's not possible. Without embracing the high technology of the Vedic Shastras, without following the parampara of rishis, without taking this Nam Sankirtan, you will not attain the perfection. So the highest technology is simply to chant Hare Krishna and realize God. By this simple technology, it's very simple to chant the holy name of Krishna. By this chanting process, one can realize God. So Lord Chaitanya gave an edict. He gave an injunction to people born in India. Bharata Bhumate Hoila, Manasa Janmajara, Janma Sartakakari, Parakara Upakara. He says, Manasa Janma, you've taken birth in the land of India as a human being? Yes. Bharata Bhumate, Bharat Bhumi. This is Bharat Bhumi. What is Bharat Bhumi? It means Punya Bhumi. This is a land of religion, the land of Dharma, as I mentioned, Dharma Kshetra. It's a pious land. It's a pure land. God has walked on this land. The rishis have walked on this land. Ram is what? They haven't walked in Germany. Although you're very eager and anxious to go to Saudi and Arabia and Germany and France and see America and see the Empire State Building and Trade Center and Disneyland and Disney World and walk on all those places. But nobody's walked there but a bunch of dogs and cats. All kinds of dogs and cats have walked there. So you can walk in the footprints of the dogs and cats by going to Paris and London and Athens and New York and San Francisco. You can follow. But if you walk in India, if you walk in India in the holy dhams, you'll walk in the footprint, you'll follow the footprints of Krishna or the Mahajanas. Mahajana yena kata sapanta. Sapanta means we should follow the path, the panta, of the Mahajans. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishma, right? Prahlad Maharaj, Bhishma, grandfather, Bhishma Patamaha, grandfather Bhishma, and Swayambhu Manu, the Manus, all the great rishis, Janak Maharaj, all these rishis, Mahajana yena kata sapanta, Vyasamuni, Shukamuni, Sutta Goswami, Vashishtha Muni, Valmiki, all so many great rishis are here. So if you walk around India, or tour around India, you'll walk in their footsteps. But what do you want to do? You want to follow in the footsteps of cats and dogs and walk in their footprints? Or better, watch out, because you might step in their prasadam also. When you walk in the cities of Athens, London, New York, San Francisco, you might step in some of the remnants of your acharyas. If you walk in the footsteps of the dogs and cats, you might find yourself in trouble. Right? In the city streets. But if you walk in India, if you walk in the footsteps of the acharyas, you'll get their prasad, their kripa, mahant kripa. Mahant kripa means the blessings of the Mahajans. Sadhu kripa. The blessings of guru kripa. And what will those blessings do? They'll purify your existence. purify your mind, satisfy your heart, and enliven your intelligence, and captivate your emotions, and propel you towards the goal of life. So Bharatvarsha has everything, this land of Dharma. So Lord Chaitanya said, you're born here, take advantage of all this great tradition of rishis, great tradition of Vedic literature, take advantage of these holy rivers and sacred dhams and sadhu sangha. That's Arya Samaj. Arya Samaj means sadhu sangha, Arya Samasta. Or Arya Samaj means to associate with Aryans, with spiritual personalities, with rishis, sadhus, who follow the Vedas. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarsha yo vidu. This is Krishna says, follow the parampara. This is what Krishna says. If you throw away Bhagavan, and you throw away the parampara, and you throw away the Vedas, Shrutis and Shmitis, what do you have? Nasa siddham avapnoti, nasukam na paramgatim. Utsrija. In 18th chapter, Krishna says, if you throw away the Vedas, so this Arya Samaj, they throw away the Shmitis, and we don't care for Smritis, Upanishads, the Shrutis we have some interest in. And we don't care for this parampara, we have our own. We don't care for Vyas, Mun, Brahma, Madhva, we don't care anything. So Krishna says, you throw away the Vedas, you throw away the Shrutis and Smritis, Vedas means all these. Then you get Nasa Siddham Avapnoti, Napuram, Nasukam Napuram Katyam. You don't get any happiness, you don't get any perfection, right? Or attain the highest destiny. You don't go to Paravyom. You get another birth in the material world because you're non-violent, you're following Ahimsa. But even, you know, this Vedic literature gives us the perfection. So Lord Chaitanya is telling you, you're born in Bharat, take advantage of all these things, attain perfection in Krishna consciousness. Then, because you receive something wonderful, you have a debt to those sages and rishis, and you have a debt to Dharma Kshetra. You have a debt to Bharat Bhumi. And that debt is, you should do welfare work. Parakara Upakara. That you should distribute this transcendental knowledge to others. You should give this knowledge. We should give our high technology of Bharat to the rest of the world. What is reincarnation? What is the Atma? What is the Paramatma? What is God? What is this world? What is the spiritual world? This knowledge we have, very completely and very perfectly. And we know the perfect way of life. The Aryan civilization is the perfect way of life. It's the Vedic civilization, based on Veda, with the goal of life being liberation. And everything very complete, or you can say perfectly tied to that goal. When we live a life guided by the Vedas, that is Aryan civilization. And we're living in the Aryan world. So all of us are meant to become Aryans. So we'll stop there.